several of the world's largest economies are slowing down. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. We've got new data from some of the largest economies in the world, and it is not good. Japan's GDP last quarter shrank by the equivalent of 6.3% per year, the result of a new sales tax, a typhoon, trade tensions, and weak global demand. If you throw coronavirus into the mix, there is concern that economy, the world's third largest, could slip into recession. On the other side of the world, Germany's economy stagnated last quarter. It grew just a hair over 0%. One explanation is declining exports. Nomura is lowering its estimate of Chinese economic growth in the first quarter to just 3%. That is 3 percentage points lower than last quarter. China has announced it's trying to fight back by reducing interest rates. This is a lot to take in, so let's bring in Michael Hewson. He's chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning.
So given all this bad news, what would be boosting EU markets this morning?
Well, I think what's happening is they're taking their cues from the Chinese stimulus measures, the reduction in rates earlier today. But there's also an expectation that Chinese authorities, as well as the Singapore and Hong Kong governments, might well embark on some form of fiscal stimulus in the coming weeks to try and offset the slowdown that we're going to be seeing in all of their economies over the course of the next few weeks.
Germany and Japan both reporting slower growth. Germany at zero, Japan's economy shrinking the most in 5 years last quarter. What do those mean for global growth moving forward?
Given the fact that China is the workshop to the world, this will inevitably impact the global economy. Europe, in particular, where data last week, as you indicated, showed that the German economy stagnated in Q4. French and Italian economies contracted in data last week. This morning's Japanese data also showing economic weakness in the last quarter. And that's before you even tailor in the effects of the coronavirus. It becomes increasingly apparent that this outbreak is unlikely to make things better and, in fact, will make things worse in the short to medium term.
Michael Hewson, he is chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London. Thanks so much.
No problem at all. Thank you.
The Shanghai Composite, by the way, closed up 2.3%. It's recovered about half its losses since the coronavirus outbreak started. Fidelity Investments says it has a record number of retirement accounts with $1 million or more. And the average amount of money in all the accounts it manages has reached record highs. Fidelity manages about 25% of the country's retirement accounts. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab takes a look at what's driving the rise in savings.
The biggest reason savings are up? Because the stock market is up. Megan Murphy is vice president at Fidelity Investments.
Just in the past year, so in all of 2019, the growth that we saw in balances, 81% of it was due to market activity.
But what about the rest? More employers are automatically enrolling their employees into a basic retirement fund. They're also automatically increasing their employees' contribution each year. Ben Carlson at Ritholtz Wealth Management says that's a good way to get people to save.
For most people, they just set this thing one time and they forget about it.
But that's where the buck stops, with the employee, because the rate of employers offering to match contributions has remained flat. And Carlson says just half of U.S. businesses offer a retirement plan at all.
It is increasingly expensive to run one of these plans.
Carlson says people should save 15 to 25 times what they spend annually, something he says is getting harder to do before age 65. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And quick disclosure, Fidelity Investments has been an underwriter for this program. When REI, the outdoor gear company, launched a print magazine last year, it became one of the latest examples of a marketing trend. It is called content marketing. Embrace yourselves. It's not digital. It's like actual magazines. Marketplace Hub reporter Peggy Lowe of KCUR reports that there's an iconic brand in the Midwest that's been doing this for decades.
Gary Getterman, a 64-year-old Kansas farmer, has always been a fan of one magazine.
The Furrow always came to our house as young as I can remember.
The Furrow is a magazine published by the John Deere Company since 1895 and has been described as the agrarian version of Rolling Stone. Eight times a year, John Deere customers get the free glossy magazine in the mail. It has ads for the company's big green tractors, of course. But the Furrow is better known for its articles and photography. Getterman likes that the magazine has stories on things he cares about.
John Deere has taken a definite interest in soil health, soil quality, conservation practices, basically what I consider a whole new way of farming.
The Furrow goes out to about 500,000 customers in the U.S. and Canada. And while the company won't say how much it spends on the magazine, David Jones, the Furrow's outgoing editor, says it's a minuscule amount of the total marketing budget. Jones says John Deere's son, Charles, created the magazine.
Charles identified this other need, which was for farmers at the time to have an accurate source of information. He recognized that there was potential promotional value to providing that information.
That goes to the heart of what's called content marketing, says Joe Lazauskas of Contently, a marketing company.
But if you actually want to build a relationship with people, the most valuable thing you can do is help make them better at their job. You know, help them make more money, make them more successful, make this their best year ever.
Ad Age reports that 10 brands have started print magazines in the last couple years, including digital companies like Airbnb and Bumble, the dating app. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.